Mr. Gray had no difficulty in remembering my name, unlike a presentation story I saw in the Delsman recently, where a managing director of one of these great firms was holding forth about the devotion and service, loyalty to the firm, etc., etc., and was presenting, just about to present a gold watch to one of these workmen in the firm after 40 years of service. And after his great eulogy, he had to turn and say, "Let me see, what is your name?" Well, this is typical, of course, of big business. We are a big business now, but not quite as big as that. Well, obviously, you're not going to expect much of a speech from me, not a farewell speech, because, after all, I've not had much experience of it. It's 29 years since I last made a farewell speech, and so I haven't had any practice. I thought you might be slightly interested, though, in how I came to Long Eaton, the circumstances. I hadn't even heard of Long Eaton when I came. I spent the war years at home in my old school, Makesbury Grammar School, that the head mentioned, where I felt still something like the senior prefect. And in the ladies' staff room, if one of the other members, the older members of the staff, came in, I immediately got up and offered my seat, you know, and I felt this was what I had to do. But when the war was drawing to a close, I thought I could begin to look a bit further afield. And it was the happy time then when staff were in such demand, because all the men were at the war anyway, all the arts graduates were at the war, that you only had to apply for a job and you had a prepaid telegram by return inviting you to interview. It's getting a bit like that these days, isn't it? And so, having looked around a bit, the job at Long Eaton didn't look too far away, near Derby. And so I applied and got the usual, this time, letter inviting me to interview in a Christmas vacation, January day. Those who remember Mr. Roberts will know that he never used two words where one would do. And so I had a very brief note inviting me to interview, telling me that Derby had an excellent connection with Trent, and that the grammar school was a short walk from Trent. He never mentioned things like bus services, so I had no idea there was a first-class bus service from Derby to Long Eaton. And I got to Trent, to Nottingham, Derby, and found that I had to wait for a connection, so I did. Arrived at Trent Station, it was pouring with rain, and was hardly a soul to consult, but they directed me onto the town, and then I eventually found my way here to find the headmaster on the steps there, twirling an umbrella and looking most vexed and very, very irritable, very impatient. I was an hour late, and he was just wondering whether or not I was coming, and having given me an hour, he was just about to depart. It was very cold, and we had, I suppose, a rather chilly interview after that. And then he said, "I'll let you know." And I said, "Thank you very much." And I thought, that's the last of that, obviously. And he saw his candidates by penny numbers. But within a few days, I had a letter inviting me to accept the job, which I did. And I came the following Easter. I think it was Christmas holidays. He said, "Could I start immediately?" And I said, "Oh, no, I have to give a term. I have to give notice because, obviously, it's too late." So I came at Easter and I had a student in between. I didn't intend to settle. I was rather alarmed at first at the friendliness of some of the pupils. And I think other people have had a similar experience. Fairly soon after I got here, a little boy in the first year came confidingly and very naturally, as they used to do, and as some of them do. These days, I suppose, they're even cheekier, but in those days, this little chap came along and he said, "Saw you last night, miss." And I said, "Oh, did you?" And he said, "You were at the bus stop, miss." And I said, "Yes." And he said, "You were with two ladies." And I said, "Yes. Ought to have been two men." Perfectly natural and very sweet, and I didn't know how to crush him, really. So I said, well, run away now then. That was that. But this was one of the first things that struck me from Mexborough, where to be a member of the staff, you really were respected. And I think rather feared in a way, even if you were young. I don't mean there were never any discipline problems, but you were somebody a bit apart. Remember that it was a dormitory town for a mining community. And if you were a teacher, you'd really made it. You really had reached quite a goal. But to come here, it was very different. Here it was very much hail fellow well met, everybody was as good, and teachers were not somebody special or anything like this. And this was something that had to be got used to at first. Well, after about 3 years here, I decided that perhaps I'd better start and apply elsewhere. And a number of my friends were in training colleges by this time, so some of them liking it very much, so I had a crack at Crewe, as a matter of fact, Crewe Training College, and they called me up, and I had a look round, and I listened to the timetable and one thing and another, and decided that wasn't the life for me, and said, no, thank you very much. So I didn't get my expenses. And then, a bit later on, I had an invitation to become the senior history at a big girls' high school in Sheffield. So I thought, well, might as well go and look at it. So I went off to this place, Abbeydale, I don't know whether any of you know it, in Sheffield. And buildings were delightful. But it was, again, cold, wintry, snow on the ground. And in those days, we had the room 16 as a staff room. We had coal fires, lovely coal fires in those days. And very cozy and a very friendly school. And I went there, and they had little electric bars and little groups of people, all in little cliques, all women, little cliques all over the place, and it frightened me to death. I thought, not on your life. And again said no thank you and didn't get my expenses again, but it didn't really matter. And after that, I settled down for a little while, and then my father died in 49, and my mother decided she'd like to come and live with me. And so from 1950 onwards, I settled into a very pleasant routine, and time went, and it went very quickly and very, almost imperceptibly, quite happily, and almost before you know where you are, you see you've been here 29 years, which is quite unbelievable. Well, I don't think there's much else I want to say, except that a number of people have said, well, what are you going to do? Now you're going to have this leisure time, and I'm not very sure. At present, of course, as I've been saying, it hasn't hit me yet that I'm not going to be part of the place. I'm still identifying myself with school, and I say we when I mean you for September. I'm still saying we and thinking in terms of we, so I think I shan't really feel it until September. I am hoping to travel a bit, as Mr. Grace said, if I'm sufficiently mobile. I've had an invitation to Kenya in January, which I may or may not take up. And there are all sorts of other places where I'd like to go. I have lots of friends who will both come and stay with me, and I hope to visit. I hope to do a little further study so that I don't completely rust out. I'd like to do a bit of botany, because I never did botany at school. I did physics and chemistry, and I feel I've missed out on botany. Not that I want to do anything as specialised or be as expert as my predecessor is. She's doing a wonderful job, and she's loving it. And whenever I go to see Miss Henley, she's almost invariably she's engaged on microscopic work with her bryophytes and things. But I would like to know a little more about the countryside, and I hope to take walks in Derbyshire and so on again, and be able to identify some of the specimens that we see around the place. I'd like also to do some language, some conversations in German and French. I'm not too bad on paper or reading, but I'm not fluent at all, and I'd like to get more fluent. I'd like to do a bit of advanced cookery, particularly when I see displays like this, or something on hostessing. And what else? I don't know. Oh, a bit of gardening in between times. A bit of voluntary work. This sort of thing, anyhow. And I hope when I'm invited, I will try not to overdo it, to come back and visit you from time to time. I wish the school every success, and I hope this happy atmosphere that we have days like this can be carried forward into tomorrow and into next term and next year. Thank you very much again for everybody, the domestic science department and all the helpers for today's very happy occasion, but colleagues and everybody for all the help and the friendship that you have given me and all the support. I've had a very happy time here and I'm very sorry to go, but thank you very much. That's all.